Welcome to the Big Fat Real Estate Checks Podcast with Marco Kozlowski, where we help investors like you get the knowledge and skills you need to replace your J-O-B with passive cash flow for life.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Big Fat Real Estate Checks. My name is Marco Kozlowski, and I'm here with Gabriel Araisha.
Hello, hello. It's been a while.
Hello, it has been a while. This is our first of 2024. Can you believe it? We have not done a podcast in a whole year. And we are back in the game, back on track. And you'll notice that...
You've shed some weight. I'm kidding. That's so mean.
Oh, that's not nice.
He works so hard.
Frank is no longer with us for this episode. Only for this episode. Frank has decided to be with his wife instead. For those, which I don't blame him, because he's been teaching classes for 10 days straight. And we love Frank very much, which means we're going to get a lot to say today. Right. So for those that are unfamiliar with Big Fat Real Estate Checks, this is all about giving you, serving you at the highest level to give you content that is relevant, actionable, usable, and as legal as we believe that it is. How's that? But of course, if any information is given here, it is meant for edutainment purposes, but we're pretty damn good at what we do, at least generally are, and pretty much whatever we say goes. Well, not really. We like to have fun, and we like to make sure that we get wealthy by serving others. And Gabriel, if you have not met him before, seen me before, this is the first time here at Big Fat Real Estate Checks. We have quite a few, I don't know if we have 200 episodes, but we have quite a few episodes behind us. Five-star review average. And of course, you know the drill. If you love this, like us, love us, share us, and give us a five-star review, if you may. We look forward to your feedback as well to really move 2024, 25, 26, and all future years and beyond to be your best years ever. And there are uncertain times right now. Man, there's a lot of weirdness going on in the streets. And we would kick off our first episode with Gabrielle. We are missing our good friend Frank today, but he will hopefully join us next week when we do some more of these. So Gabe is an expert in raising money. I know that we've said this before, but he is like really an expert on raising money, and is well connected throughout the universe. In fact, he had an extra spot to this cool event in Utah, where people had to fly in with private jets in order to get there. And you know, I was the dumbest person in the room. So
and we use public transportation to get there, which is regular airplane.
Yeah, according to them, yes. Yeah, in their fancy helicopters and really nice jets. And some people did come in two Ferraris. I don't know how they pulled that off, but you know, one behind another. It was kind of interesting. It was a really, really, really neat event. And it was really a delight for me to see. This is Gabe's circle, right? And I've never really seen Gabe in a different circle than where he is with me. And I was so proud. You know, people are like literally laying on a carpet and bowing to him, saying, Gabe, you are so cool. You know, the all-knowing. They're literally like pushing me aside, giving me the ribs, you know, the elbows on the ribs. Get out of here. Who's this? I want to talk to Gabe. It's like, wow, that's kind of cool. So, yeah. So, Gabriel Araisha, welcome back to Big Fat Real Estate Checks.
This is awesome. Thank you. Right. Appreciate the extravagant intro. But, just a regular dude doing regular things and having fun doing it.
Golly G. Willikers. So let's kick off this with money. Cash. Dineros. Yen. Yes. However you want to say it. Gold. Shekels. However you want to say it. Raising it. Now, we do use asset-based lending, and there are many instances where you're going to need to raise money and do it properly. And we'll either do two episodes today on raising money in the U.S. and maybe a separate one in Canada. Maybe we'll do one altogether. Apparently, a long format is what people want these days. So, you know what? Golly gee willikers, let's do it, which means let's go as long as... you know, until the tape runs out. How's that?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, cool. All righty. So let's talk about raising money. Now, Gabe, before we are getting ready process, he says, hey, do you want to do an interview or do you want to do a discussion? And I'm like, well, I'm not an expert in this, man. So
let's do both.
We'll figure it out.
Let's do both or do none.
It'll probably be Gabe just talking for a long time and me just sucking my thumb, rocking
we'll
back.
We'll make it.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. So raising money. You've been doing this for a long time. You wrote a book about it. You actually wrote the book on raising money in Canada. Being Canadian, and we have quite a few listeners in Canada. Aren't we we were number one podcast ever in like some small country?
Yes, Slovakia, I think.
Slovakia, yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why we're so cool in Slovakia. They have your, I think they have your picture up, and you know they have like David Hasselhoff and then Gabriel Araish.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think David Hasselhoff is really you, but they couldn't find a real picture of you.
No, definitely not. But yeah, so money. We need it. We want it. Now, what are you doing these days? I know you're actively with private equity funds, so and advising in different funds, and you see a lot of really cool shit all the time that you bring. So, can you just spread some love on you know what you're doing and you know some cool stuff that you're doing right now, and just welcome back, man. Let's. Yeah. Let's chit chat. How you been? What's going on?
Right. The tea. I've been great, and yeah, I've been a little bit more spread thin now with all these cool projects, and you know the real estate part is obviously it's grown with the acquisition of our latest hotel, which we did apply a lot of these capital raising rules that we've discussed in them, so we can maybe touch on that a little bit later. So, but that's the real estate side, and we're focusing on that one now on the real estate side, but there will be more, especially now that we have the model for capital raising. I did write a book that it's called Secrets of Securities Compliance, The Art of Raising Money the Right Way. The right way is the key word here. So it is based on the Canadian rules, which are, I want to say a little bit, but it's probably a lot of bit more stringent than the US rules for capital raising. There's a lot more conditions, and the regulatory environment is a little bit stricter up in Canada. So once you understand that side of things, in the U.S. side becomes extremely more comfortable in terms of the capital raising regulation.
So hang on, one second. Okay. Before we get into Canada, because you have, you know, people that also live in the United States and like, why do I care about this Canadian raising thing? So, before we get into, and it's important, and here's why, is you can raise money anywhere in the world for anything, right? And Canadians are thirsty to place money somewhere, and nobody knows how to do it well. And if you know how to do something better than anyone else, you don't have to be the best. You just have to be a beast, all right? Which means you have to know more and outperform just the next guy, and you're going to be fine, or gal. All right. So it's really important, I think, first, Gabe, that let's talk about some of the projects that you're overseeing or seeing.
Right. Exactly. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah. Because I'm just pretending that I'm Canadian and I'm hearing you for the first time and I'm about to change the channel. No offense. So yeah. I just want to make sure that excite us a little bit with kind of the shit that you're doing. And I honestly forgot about Minot. We closed a hotel. It's a $20 million hotel. We buy so many assets, dude. Like,
how do you forget about that?
Forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, you do a lot at one point. It's you don't really, you know,
it's just another deal. Yeah, I know. It's
5, 10, 20 million, whatever. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. So I guess just to extend on the capital raising rules, that's kind of how I ended up in the private equity world, where because of this knowledge, I've now been asked to help a bunch of different fund managers from pretty much around the world. There's, you know, most of them come from the US, but they're pretty much from around the world. And the cool part is that it's not just real estate anymore. I get to dab around in all these cool industries. You know, I just got someone now that wants to raise money for cattle and farming, right? Which is something that I don't never thought I'd hear in my life. The farming part may be more than the cattle itself, but it seems it's
like, a pretty bull to be.
You know what? You have no idea what bull semen is worth these days, and that's what they're capitalizing on. It's crazy, but it is an investment vehicle. So, you know, I get to work with all these individuals. Obviously, my role is more from the strategic side and their capital raising strategy and the compliance around the capital raising. But that's the fun part, is I get to see all these cool different projects and meet these amazing humans that are doing great things in different industries, which just gives you access, right? And just like we always say, you know, you need access to capital when you're doing your real estate. That's really what's going to help you do as many deals as possible, because finding deals is great and creating deals is even better. But, you know, if you create all these deals and you can't raise the capital that's missing, if there is any, then you've just created a deal and wasted your time. So the same thing with access to these fund managers. It's just a world where there's a lot of things going on in private that unless you know, you don't know. And I know, you know, they say if you know, you know, but it's if you don't know, you don't know. And that's a lot more difficult to deal with. So there's a lot of really cool stuff going out there, from crypto to blockchain. And it's funny because crypto kind of went through this crazy swing. So there was all these fund managers that were excited about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was crickets around these fund managers. And now all of a sudden they're excited again. So, you know, it teaches you a lot, even as a, you know, even if you're called upon as a coach, mentor, strategist, whatever you want to call it, you actually learn a lot from these individuals because they have experiences in a different world where things work in a different light. So, I get to work with another company now that's, you know, they're working in crowdfunding, which ironically is one of the rules that I helped write in Canada, but they're doing it up in the US and now they want to do it in Canada as well. So they have this amazing project that could help a lot of you raise money a lot more simply moving forward. So we'll help them build their structure, and you know, hopefully that's going to be something that a lot of you will be able to use moving forward.
So you unpacked a lot in a little bit of time. So the neat thing about going into other industries is you learn. It's like the same thing, but completely different, if that makes sense. And then you realize that the expertise you have in one area or the lack of expertise you have in one area, or maybe you're someone that doesn't haven't done anything yet. You know, you're still in, you know, you don't have any pubic hair yet. And you're just like, what am I going to do with my life? Just go somewhere, you know, interact, add value, as much value as possible, and watch things happen. Watch things grow. And it's really neat when you start interacting with that, how quickly you can ascend, right? Because you went from, you know, little peanut to a big oak tree, you know, in a very, very short period of time. And I think that can happen to anybody that really dedicates themselves and has integrity and moves in a direction and is open to learning, which is great. I'm really interested about bull semen being a vehicle, which is all I could pick up from the last thing.
I figured.
Man, that was investment.
I almost regret saying it, but yeah,
But you know what? I think it's like this. I know, like Wagyu,
like beef.
Cows, yeah. Beef is no, just the cows. Mm. I think Japan limits how many you can have, and you can't breed them, and it's, you know, it's very limited. And there's ways to make money in anything, not just real estate. Now, in the capital raising that you're doing, I just want to bring it back, just scale it back just a little bit to a basic list. I don't want to say basic. I want to say someone that is just starting or doesn't have any money or has basic knowledge. what's it going to take to raise money, number one? Because what people mostly do is they look for the money first in order to get the deal, right? I need to get money before I get a deal. Do I need to get the deal before I get the money? Like in real estate, you need the deal before you get the money. But I don't know if this is the same thing in your in the private equity fund space, or
it's not. But it's not always. I think, although I apply it even in real estate, where I kind of like to do both at the same time, where I'm marketing for deals, whether it's in real estate or in any other industry, this is going to apply. You market for deals, but you always have to consistently have some sort of capital raising strategy that you're applying, whether it's, you know, discussing your prior deals. If you have any, if you don't have any, you know, don't worry. There's ways of actually raising capital, even if you've never done this before. And that's kind of what, you know, I help teach a lot, because it's not about what you know. It's about what your team knows. And you can build that. That's something that you can acquire. You know, I work with a lot of first-time fund managers. These are people that maybe have done deals in the past, but they've never raised a cent. And now that they want to scale, you know, they don't know anybody that has money, or they've never really approached anyone, or they just don't know how to communicate with high net worth individuals or people that have a lot of money, because it is a different breed of, you know, of individual. And, you know, at that event that Marco and I attended, you know, it's called Jets and Capital. It's a huge event. And it's the people that are there, just, it's a different ilk, right? And the way these people speak is not the way your average Joe is going to be speaking on the street. So it's something that you have to adapt to or learn. And if you don't want to learn it, you know, there's just, I know a lot of people that just bring on a capital raiser on their team, someone who has that access, and so that they don't have to focus on it. Just like we do, right? In real estate, we you know, Marco doesn't go and unclog toilets. You know, we don't go, sometimes we don't even go visit some of the properties. We'll send other people to do things. We definitely don't manage our properties. We use property management and we oversee that. So, you know, you can have a capital raising strategy, which is basically like your blueprint, and then you can have someone else do it, or you can do it yourself, because, you know, for some of you out there might love this. Like it's a pretty cool gig to go out and raise capital. It's hard to get started in the sense that it takes time to build the traction around the communication. But once you know, you get the wheels going, a little bit like riding a bike, right? Just, you got to start the pedals. And then once the pedals are going, you can pretty much let go of your feet, then that bike's going to keep rolling. And it's the same thing in this world. It's just extremely gratifying, because once you have access to capital, the rest is super easy. I mean,
downhill.
Because there's people finding deals left and right, and I see them every day. I get more people asking me for money than people asking me for deals. And that's, you know, if there's no bigger testament to the importance of access to capital. Everybody's looking for capital because everybody has learned to find deals. So that's really the reality of it, at least now.
And you want the capital to want your deal by really wrapping it in a way where it's unique.
Yeah.
It's not like, I've got the new Facebook. All right, well, there's already a Facebook. I got the new Uber. Well, there's already an Uber, right? Yeah. Lyft, Uber. Well, you can compete against that. Good luck. You know? So it's, and as long as your idea is sound and you have someone that can action that idea well, basically the execution of that, someone understands how to get the money, right? So if I have an idea and I have someone that understands the execution, I don't know if you've seen BlackBerry. Have you seen the movie BlackBerry?
I have.
Right. If you haven't, it's really cool because you got the genius, right? The evil genius. That, yep. And then you have the guy that just is a go-getter, and together they made it work. Right. Until it didn't. But they had a good run. Right. Yeah. And that was the perfect, you know, you need someone, the implementation person, the implementer, right? Someone that implements. So if you're not an implementer, you have an idea, get an implementer that can actually run with that idea and obviously give equity to, give a piece to, then that person will know exactly what to do and where to go and how to do it. So you're just one connection away from really having whatever you want in life, right?
Because that's exactly it.
You don't need the expertise You need to find the expert.
That's right. I mean, it's always important to understand the basics of the expertise that some that you're delegating out, so that you can, you know, oversee. And if you want to be, you know, quote unquote, the CEO in your company, that's something that you should have, you know, should be aware, like understand. But as far as execution, you always, you know, it's ideally you leave it out to someone who's done this before.
Right. And the sound of being a CEO sounds really sexy, but it's a lot of work.
It is. I know.
I would like rather not. I don't want to be CEO either. I don't want to wrench it. I really don't. It sounds sexy, right? Oh, I'm a CEO. Well, you know what? I'm a shitty CEO. Like I'm not disciplined enough. I have ADD and I want to do what I want to do. So I'd rather be a shareholder with control.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
You can get rid of that CEO and put in a new CEO. CEOs are responsible. Remember that. All right. So, yeah. Next.
That's right.
So, anywho, where are we going with this? Yeah. So, okay. So if you have an idea, a dream or whatever, great. Line yourself up with someone that knows how to run shit, implement shit, or find money. And let's talk about this first. So let's say that I want to find money myself. All right.
Yes.
I don't have an idea yet and I want to start going and I want to, you know, raise some cash.
Yes.
And I live in Alaska. I don't know. I have moose as neighbors.
Yes.
So it's almost like Canada, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Moose. All right. But, you know, I have Canada that's not too far away. In fact, Canada's closer than the United States at that point, or even
that's
Russia.
Right.
It's closer.
Yeah.
So how do we raise some money? What do we do? Well, first, we got to read your book.
Yeah, you can read the book. The book is compliance. So understanding how to raise capital is definitely a big part of it. But and the real important part at the onset is understanding what you can't do as well, because the way you solicit money and whether or not you're allowed to ask for money and from whom you're allowed to ask money from is the real key here. But once you understand all that, you know, it's you got to get out there. At the end of the day, you can know all the rules, but if you're not talking to anyone that has access to capital, that wants to invest, or that, you know, high net worth individuals, whatever you want to call them, accredited investors, the term is defined, but you're not going to get anywhere. You can most certainly find a way to attract investors. I know some of you out there might be super computer savvy, and as long as you understand the marketing rules around capital raising, you'll be able to build your own funnels and find ways to attract investors. As long as you're doing it within the rules, you know, that's going to be okay. And actually, that's probably the new era way of doing things. I see a lot of that going on. Like, you know, we're going to be applying that in some way, shape, or form as well. Actually, you can even use AI now to do all that. But the objective is really, you got to understand the rules first, so you know what you can and what you can't do. And then from there, really, if you're going to do it yourself, which is okay, you just have to figure out what your style is. Are you the type that is, you know, you have to get out there, talk to people face to face, meet with them? Are you comfortable just, you know, using the internet and funnels to attract investors? Are you more comfortable going on different, you know, groups, whether it's on Facebook, LinkedIn, and kind of just start commenting on different people's deals and building quote unquote online relationships that will eventually become potential investors in your deal once they get to know you and see what you're working on? So there's different ways of doing it. It's just a question that you've got to get out there and do it. But I would definitely advise you to understand the rules around capital raising prior to doing anything, because in the capital raising world, there's rules and regulations. And if you break those rules and are caught breaking those rules, you know, there's always going to be kind of that stain on your file. So it doesn't mean that you won't be able to raise money in the future, but it just means that, you know, if someone wants to know, they'll know that you've done this illegally in the past. And that's just some other weight that you have to carry that's unnecessary in a world where capital raising is already hard enough. Why make it harder?
Right. And if you happen to get caught and you get slapped around, that's the first thing that you would definitely say when you're talking to somebody, saying, listen, man, I didn't know what I was doing when I first started. Screwed it up, you know, you're gonna find something about me, and you know, I was an idiot at that time.
Yeah,
and you can get around it, you know.
You can
But if you keep doing it, then you're definitely, you know, Do it once, shame on me. Do it twice.
It won't work here because it's a shame on you and it's always a you issue. It's never a someone else issue. Yeah, yeah. It's a me issue all the time and capital raising. Yeah.
No, it's always everybody else's fault. You know that.
Oh, I do. Yeah. It's a different podcast.
Taking responsibility is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's nuts how people don't. Okay, so know the rules. We're gonna drop a link on the book, your Canadian book, that will definitely help for the US, but the rules are actually worse in Canada than they are in the United States, right? So
yeah,
like for some reason, I don't know how there can be so many rules in Canada when there's so fewer people. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, you'd think that with the number of people in the United States, more shit would have gone down to, and more protection would happen, right? Than in Canada with what?
It's almost a political discussion because I feel like in Canada, government feels like they're responsible, or the responsibility is put on them to ensure that the population is shielded from potential fraudsters or issues. Whereas in the US, it's almost a mentality of, it's your money. You're allowed to do whatever you want with it, including fucking up. And it's got its pros and cons depending on what side you're on. But, definitely from an entrepreneur's perspective, who's capital raising, it's a quicker path to cash in the US. But the fun part is, even if you're Canadian using the Canadian rules, you're still allowed to raise money from Americans and vice versa. If you're in the US and you have your own strategy, why limit yourself? Why not go get money in Canada as well if you understand the rules? Because really it's knowing is like 90% of the battle, because if you understand something, then you know how to navigate it. It's when you don't understand it that you end up doing whatever the heck you think is right, or doing what you know, which is your current, if you're in the US and you know the US rules, and you start raising money from another country using the US rules, well, that's not going to fly. But if you know the rules, then it's just as simple as creating a capital raising strategy for different locations. It's not that hard. It's just, you have to know.
Canadians have a lot of money. Like, some it's feast and famine. Like, either have a lot of money or you don't have very much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
they have cool vehicles up there, like just the same, like, in the US, they have the 401ks and IRAs, Canada has RSPs and TFSAs, and there's a lot of money sitting in there. A lot of the high net worth, most of their net worth is in those vehicles. And, they can't sell all of that and actually cash it out, because that's where, you'll have a huge tax liability. But in the meantime, they can invest it and grow it tax free. So it's, I guess, a little bit of a chicken or the egg, because you can grow it as much as you want, but you eventually have to run it dry. But while it's there, it's a lot of sleeping money that's just sitting in mutual funds or things that your investor just has no control over, whereas they can choose to invest in a vehicle that they understand and that will probably provide them with greater returns.
Much, yeah, because after, I remember going to Bank of Montreal, and they were like, you need to open up a mutual fund. And I get my statement, and it went down every month. And I'm like, it's normal? And they're like, yeah, that's how it works. I'm like, well, then why did I put... I didn't have any money to begin with. Now I have less money. I was just investing. It takes time.
Yeah.
In my book, the more time... If I'm going negative every month because of fees, right? They take the fee, or you're an idiot fee.
It's like golf, right? It's the lowest score wins here.
I don't think it's supposed to work that way. Yeah. So... when you have, there's only five banks, all right? Five, that's it. And so people have no way of putting money into an investment. They don't know what can be done, right? And if you have an edge as a US person, or even if you live in Nairobi, like, it doesn't matter. If you know how to access money anywhere in the world, and every country has different rules, and Canada is like America's hat, right? Oop, just right on top. And they're thirsty for a place to put money. That's one of the reasons why my followers, well, not only because I'm Canadian, but a lot of my followers are Canadian, because we're thirsty to find ways of getting out of, paying less tax, because we're taxed up the ass, and making more money and having an ability to travel more, do the things we want more, like anybody else. in the world, really. But I think, I don't know if Canada's one of the highest tax brackets. Like,
yeah, it's up there.
It's definitely up there. Like, I think Norway and Sweden are higher.
Yes.
But, you know.
It's very close to the top. But and interestingly enough, too, is that while there's a lot of money up in Canada, there's just not that many good deals. It's really hard to find, you know, someone who's holding a good deal. If you just look at the real estate market, I mean, everything is trading at a 4 cap, 5 cap.
That's a great deal, isn't it?
Well, to some it might be, but definitely not for the savvy investor. And,
but it's going
to
go up later. It's,
right.
It's going to go up later.
Or down. But and then the other aspect is, you know, there's the exchange rate. That's really, it could be an issue, but it could be beneficial. Like if, you know, if the U.S. is planning, well, planning, I mean, if we think it's going into a recession, which most economists think it is, then generally that's going to trigger potentially a closer dollar, U.S. dollar to Canadian dollar, which is going to get that appetite going even more for Canadians to want to get their money in the U.S. Because if you look at historically, you know, after the great financial crisis, 2008, you know, a lot of Canadians bought properties or U.S. investments. And at that time, the dollar was near par if it wasn't at par.
It was more than the U.S. dollar for a short period.
There you go. And so today, like, you know, I just went to visit one of my friends this week. You know, his parents bought a place on the beach, right? A condo on the beach in Fort Lauderdale for like a couple of $100,000, which that would have been like an extra 50, 60 grand Canadian today based on the current exchange rate. And so they made 30, 40% just on the exchange rate, let alone the actual appreciation post-COVID and all that stuff. But, you know, once that dollar starts going back closer to par, even it doesn't have to go to par because it's always going to fluctuate. But as it goes closer, the appetite's going to be even more. So there's going to be a lot of hungry Canadian dollars wanting to come down to the U.S. And it's just a question of you bringing the right deals to them and having a proper capital raising strategy around them. Like I think we're blessed here in the U.S. to have access to all these amazing deals that we can create, and whether in real estate or any other industry. But you know, we focus on real estate a lot on our marketing, and I mean, we're creating some amazing stuff. I mean, just this Minot deal, it's one of those forgotten deals where, yeah, we talk about it, we don't talk about it, we forget about it, but it's a great deal. Like the returns that the investors are going to get out of this is going to be super fun for them. And that's just not something that's commonly found on the private investment side in Canada. So that's another reason why I think Americans should be interested in Canadians' money, is just because they're looking for good deals, which they're not finding.
And 2007 is when the Canadian dollar was worth more. And And I was just Googling it. Having access, if you start thinking as a globalist, like, you know, there's a big world out there. You know, was it with you? I was having a discussion about India.
No, but it is a big market.
They have, 25% of the population or something close to that?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's, you know, opportunity there abounding. And I was having a really neat conversation about having opportunities that are just really wild in India with returns that are bananas. And people are scared, right? Living in I grew up in population 35,000 in Canada, and you know,
million. 35 million.
No, it's 35,000 in Canada, right? But a small town in Yeah, I grew up in a small town of 35 million in India, right? Like no one's heard of this town, right? So and the more people there are, generally, the more opportunity there is, right? And if you start thinking in terms of with the internet, you know, we have a computer in our hand, a TV in our hand, a window to the world in our hand, and the ability to communicate with pretty much anyone in the world at any time. It's amazing. And if you're, you know, a farmer in a field in Africa and you have a cell phone that has internet, you can be a rock star. You can raise money. You can do a lot of things. So I want to just circle back on chicken and egg that you said earlier about deal or money,
mm-hmm.
or money, right? I chose real estate as my investment vehicle, and you did as well. That's yep. how, right?
Correct.
So, and as you start generating income, then you want to look for other things that you can place your money in, right? Because you should use a deal to attract money, and you should have a money to attract a deal. So if you have money, you should be looking at deals, right? To invest in. Your money should be growing your money. And when someone is doing these capital raises, and again, we're going to drop a link to Gabe's book in the show notes. So you can click and get 10 copies, give them to as many people as possible. All right. And it's double the price if you use the show link for sure. just kidding. What was I talking about? I got ADD there. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah,
the chicken or the egg.
You're going to want. Yeah. So if I don't have any money, all right, if I don't have any money, should I focus on raising money or getting a deal? What do you think I should do first if I'm at ground zero? All right, let's go ground zero,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more than ground zero, and then just go from start from the bottom and go to the top. So if you have lots of cash and you're not making, but by the way, what's a high return in your world? That's a question I've never asked. And what's a high return? Because, you know, when money was at 1%, 2%, 8% was mm-hmm. a monster, right? 12% generally is super high risk, right? And in your world,
that's not the case. Yeah.
It's a very different world. So I'm very curious to see what.
It's got to be caveated because it's a risk-adjusted return that you got to look at, right? Because investing in real estate, if you're in a real estate deal where you're doing some private lending, and that's what the model is, where you lend your money to a company that lends it out at 70% of, you know, loan to value on the property. So if a property is worth $1 million, they're only lending $700,000 and collecting interest, and you're providing your investors under that model a return of like 10 to 12%. That's amazing because the risk is extremely low. And the return is quite high. But if you're making 12% and you're investing in, you know, this new software that you hope you're going to sell one day to someone else, then all of a sudden that return is shitty. So that's why you got to look at it as a risk-adjusted return. But, you know, in you have to look at it almost by industry. But the average returns out there, you know, they float around the 17, 18%.
Got it.
And sometimes it's much higher if you get into some of these industries. Like if you get into the trading, like all the hedge funds and stuff like that, those returns are, you know, they're in the mid-20s, if not a little bit higher.
Gotcha. Well, if I don't have any money, I can't go into that direction anyway. And
that's right.
I have a lot of money. That's very exciting, right?
But at the same time, if you have a lot of money, but if you have a lot of money, you also, like, how do you know you're investing in the right people, right? So like, and this is where you have to, this is why I feel like capital raising, the rules around that is important for not just an entrepreneur trying to raise capital, but if you're an investor that wants to park your money in someone else, then shouldn't you be aware of what the rules that they're supposed to respect are so that if they're not, you can spot that and then decide to park your money in someone who's doing things the right way? Because if they're not capital raising the right way, what else could they be doing the wrong way?
It's hilarious that we're talking about this now because I have a student, you know her, Dawn, and she came into some money and she wants to place it. And she found a company that does mortgages, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, she was about to place her cash into something. I'm like, can you send me over what you're doing? Because she happened to tell me in a conversation and I'm like, why don't you, my job is to help you, right? Mm-hmm. So let me just take a peek, see. Value of the property, $185,000. All right. Value of the property, $185,000. If you guys could see me, I would show you right, because this is actually on my screen right now. Value of the property, $81,500. $81,000. They're saying $185,000. They're taking, because it's.
I've had repair. Apparently,
no, it's $81,500, like max value. It's a studio house with one bathroom,
mm-hmm.
900 square foot house. And she was asked, they told her it was vetted $185,000 value. And that she was going to land $80,000 on this deal, 80 grand on this deal for a fix and flip because it was in a first mortgage position because they had just had it quick claim to them. And crime rate is the highest in the country, 94 score. And the average is about 22, right? So insane, right? I'm like, run for the hills. And she's educated on what I'm doing, right? But doesn't necessarily understand the model of protecting her money because, and I don't know why. I'm flabbergasted, right? That a little extra research isn't done because many times when we have money, we don't have time. We don't want to go into that research, right? But you have to, because it's your money and you have to protect it at all costs. And my job is to protect, if you're in the tribe, everyone. Like, we're always protecting each other, and that's the value of that.
But you also have to know what research you're doing, because that's the start, right? So wanting to do research is one thing, but if you don't know where to start or what it is, and this is where I come down, that you have to know the rules of the game, whichever game you're playing. If you don't know the rules, it's hard to know where to search, because if you know what should be right or how it works, then you're going to go look for those elements and see if they are being met or not. And you create your own checklist of what things need to be present or absent for you to be willing to park your money there, because it's your hard-earned money or inherited money or however it is, it's yours. You know, why would you just hand it over to some random people that don't care about your money as much as they care about themselves? And when anybody puts their deal ahead of your money, that's definitely a red flag.
Yeah, and it's common, right? Because I need the money. I want mine, right? It's a prevalent attitude, and working with people with integrity it's hard to find, like, but it's not at the same time, because if you know where to look, you don't. So, you know, aligning yourself with a tribe or a group or an individual that really does care, right? That gives a shit. And that is, that has integrity, that doesn't want to do the wrong thing, that wants to protect your money and your investment. Not everyone is out to get you, right? And I guess that's why the Canadian government is so, you know, they feel like a parent and they just want to make sure that everyone's protected. But at the same time, you're choking everything else, right? You're basically killing the patient by squeezing them. Yeah. And anyway, that's a story for another day. Man, we've gone all over the place. So from a hot point perspective, takeaways, of this.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on, like, because we touched on someone who has money, what they're going to do if you don't have money and you don't have any, you know, real concrete experience in any deal, whether it's real estate or anything else. You know, you focusing on the money side is going to help you access a lot of deals, whereas if you focus on the deal side, you're going to probably end up with deals, but then you'll still have the same issue, which is finding the capital for it. You can do both, but again, if you have to choose one, and I keep telling a lot of, you know, the people I work with, is the easier it is for you to access capital, whether it's for you or for other people's deals. And this is what's cool, is sometimes you can find a way to get remunerated, as long as it's legal, just by connecting people. And most people are looking for capital. They are not looking for deals. Unless they have a lot of money, they have their own cash cow that is in another industry, and they're just looking to invest in a specific industry, just like the people that we work with in real estate. When we did this hotel, that's exactly what we did. We went to see people who don't have time to create deals like the ones we've created, but you know, they want to park their money in an asset that's safe and in a team that's going to make things work for them, and that's going to put them, the investors, and the money ahead of anything else, and ahead even of their own well-being, to be clear.
Always.
And that's one avenue. But you know, if we couldn't raise the money, we'd have to go out and get a capital raiser, find someone with a capital raising skills. And again, those are few and far between. So if you're focused on something that everybody wants, but that there's not a lot of out there, chances are you'll succeed.
So what you're saying is, if you're starting from the beginning and you don't have money or deals, if you had to choose one, go in the money direction. Because once you have access to money, then you can actually be a capital raiser for other people and get a connection and get a connection fee, and you'll be in demand.
Yeah, the connection fee is doable, but you have to make sure that you follow the rules. But again, those things can be taken care of. Once you have access to, you know, your list of high net worths that are willing and able to invest in specific deals and industries, then yeah, then the rest is just paperwork.
Yeah. And when you're doing something like that, so the number one fear of people getting into real estate is the fear of rejection, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a general fear. And as you know, if you make an offer that's accepted, you pay too much. You don't want to get that, right? So it's interesting. So we developed something called the no game. It's really simple, right? Every time you do something, you have to get a no, all right? And if you get a yes, you have to start all over again, right? So it's the no game. You got to get 10 no's in a row. So when you're raising money, I want you to do the same thing, but following the rules, right? Again, go in the show notes and there's some things that you should follow. Gabe is he's a shit on this stuff. And just ask for money. Now, I do want to say this. Am I asking to borrow money, or am I asking, is it me that's borrowing the money, or is, you know where I'm going with this? I don't want to give you the
answer. I know. It's always, the deal is always asking for money. Your only importance is your credibility, in that, like, can people trust you with their money? Because you're going to be the custodian, basically, of their money. So you as the human come into play, just as, what is your integrity level, and what, you know, are you willing to put their money and their interests ahead of yours in this deal? But the decision on whether to invest or not will begin with the returns most of the time. Because you can be the greatest guy on the planet and wanting to take care of everybody's money, but if you're giving them a 3% return, chances are they'll just go park it at the bank at this point. So it's the deal is always asking for the money. So if the deal is good, the deal is structured in a way where the returns are great, with, you know, as much as you can mitigate the risks that you can, then that's when you come in as the human, but only from a due diligence perspective to them. Are you the right person for me to park my money in your deal?
And you're basically leveraging relationships, right? This business is all about leverage. We're going to have an episode on this when Frank gets back. Leverage, like, you're leveraging information. We're leveraging connections that people have already created. You're leveraging
skill sets.
You're leveraging money. You're leveraging
time.
Everything. And the better leverager you are, the more money you make. Apparently, Jeff Bezos is now again the richest person in the world, over Elon Musk as of, I think, yesterday. And they're both very good at leveraging. Like, they leverage everything. They have time to do the things they love because they leveraged everything else out of their life. So if you are working for someone else, you are being leveraged. So this whole universe is based around leverage. So leverage the information that Gabe is going to give you access to. Leverage as much information as possible. Leverage action, leverage people around you, and leverage those connections in order to just help everyone around you. And this is an important underline, right? You're leveraging to serve. You're not leveraging to hurt, right? Not to take, but to give. You want to give to give. Probably some of the most powerful advice I've gotten in a while, many years ago, was just give to give. And I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful when you really think about it. And the universe will take care of you after that.
And it feels great doing it too.
It does. It doesn't feel bad to really serve people and know that you've done the right thing at the end of the day, and you've done your best at the end of the day. It's really great. So if I'm down and out in my luck and I'm living out of my car, I can still serve. And just because I'm in a bad financial position doesn't mean that I can't find people with high net worth, create relationships with them, because at the end of the day, most people don't care about anyone other than themselves and their money.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity to create a relationship with them because you're serving them on a friendship level, right? And you have the capacity to grow their money because of the knowledge that you have. And if you don't have the knowledge, go get it. Period. Because if you don't know something, you don't know, like you said, we don't know more than there is. Like, I know so little compared to the vast knowledge there is in the universe, right? We know nothing, period. So go find a little sliver of something to learn, like we all did, right? I didn't know anything about any of this stuff, and I had to learn over 25 years. It won't take you 25 years if you align yourself with people that are wanting to share that information with you. Leverage that. Leverage it. I don't want to give the whole podcast away, but...
No, but you can also find more than you're looking for, because, you know, like if we go back to that event that we went together, you know, the idea there was to, you know, rub shoulders and elbows with high net worth individuals. But we also met people that had some pretty cool projects and some pretty good ideas for our own projects where relationships are built. So if you're starting from scratch and you got nothing and you're just going to these, there's all kinds of free meetups and free networking events. You just show up there with an open mind and talk to everyone. You're gonna basically learn who has deals, who has money, and you just have to find a way to put them together, because a lot of people that have the deals don't know how to ask for money. And a lot of people that have money don't like to tell people they have money because they feel they're going to be taken advantage of. So that's the beauty of it, is when you go into a networking event or any event, really, when you meet people, you can even meet people, you know, waiting in line somewhere or on an airplane, the person next to you. It's silly, but you'll learn so much just by asking questions and being open to receive, and to, you know, when you give to give, you'll find an amazing world out there. And that's kind of how you build your network. And your network doesn't have to be exclusively people with money, and it doesn't have to be exclusively people with deals. It should be a little bit of both, because that's what's really building your business in the end.
And you just reminded me of something I used to do a long time ago. I used to book a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the person to my right and to my left, and I would open my laptop and I would basically play my presentation. They had no choice but to listen and start a conversation, right? And it was really neat. And I got closed a couple deals that way. It's kind of cool. But yeah, and practice and screw up and fail in a safe environment first before you go after the big fish. You know, don't go after the big fish first. And remember, it's not about you. It's about them and the opportunity. And if you really focus on not making it all about you, when you're networking, don't start talking about yourself. No one gives a shit. Talk about the other person. What do you need? What's going on? How are you? Right. And even at Judson Capital, the first thing I would say, what do you need in your business? Right.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, everyone's so focused on
them. Exactly. They're not used to
someone saying, you know, what do you need? What's going on? I'm good, man. I don't need anything. What do you need? I don't need
it. There's so many of these strategies. I mean, obviously, depending on the level of where you are in your level, like, you know, now when we go out to, you know, when you go out with someone who's much, much wealthier than you, even if it's just to a restaurant and you end up picking the tab up, that just that is a silly thing. But a lot of them expect that, or they feel like they need to take it. And it's like there's an expectation that the rich person out there, the billionaire, the guy that's worth $100 million should be picking up the tab. But a small gesture like this could show them that you have no expectations from them. You just want to provide value, and that they've provided just a lot of value just by being there in front of you for that meal. So providing value is always going to be your key to achieving whatever you want, whether it's to acquire deals or whether it's to acquire money. The more you give, like you said, I guess give to give is really really powerful.
Yep. So I have a lot of things running through my head right now that I could say, but I think we're going to run out of time anyway. It's
literally
already. So, sorry about that, Gabe. I know you're going to turn into a pumpkin if you have.
No, I'm not. I'm good, man. I just wanted to kind of just leave it out there that if something cool's coming up on my end from a capital raising perspective, and you know, if anybody wants to find out or get in on the early, just go to howtoaccessmoney.com and you'll see that it's still in construction. It's coming real soon. But if you want to have a sneak peek, go out there and share information in there so that we can get it out to you as soon as it's live.
It's a great URL, by the way, howtoaccessmoney.com.
Yeah.
I was surprised it's not .org or .ai or.
Yeah, we don't do .orgs here.
Oh my gosh.
That's the after Gabe's dark.
Back. Gabe's back. Hey. Well, to land the plane, Gabe, good stuff, man. And listener, thanks for listening in. Raising money over finding deals, educate yourself on either or, and the fastest path to cash, no matter what, if you're completely starting from scratch, in my world, is finding the deal. Get educated on how to find a deal, because that'll raise the money automatically and you'll get connected. If it's, that's to me in real estate, because only because I already don't, we already have access to the capital and you can leverage those relationships, right? But if you want to start a business or do something else, or have this great idea that you've invented the lighter, whatever, and it's a special lighter that, you know, is basically a lightsaber. It works on whatever dilithium crystals, however, I think that's Star Trek. But anyway, I'm going to get a lot of mail over that, mixing up lightsabers and dilithium crystals. But the point is, start somewhere, educate yourself as much as possible. Don't go wide, go very narrow, but very deep. Like, know a lot about whatever you want to do, read books, listen to tapes on that subject. And if you're shy, like I'm actually shy by nature, learn how to read as many books as you can, or align yourself with someone that can help you on your communication skills. I know a guy, and start crushing it. And it's a lot, it's simpler than you think, but it's work. And if you're willing to put in the work, you're going to get results. You got to work at it. Nothing is get rich quick. You got to focus on the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, gives you opportunities that you have to put effort in, because if you don't put effort into something, it's not worth it. You won't take it seriously. You haven't earned it.
Just the last thing on my end is that, because you touched on it, but communication is like super critical and crucial to anything you do, whether you're going down the deal path, whether you're going down the capital raising path. And, you know, I know, and I'm not just saying this to throw you flowers, but since we've been working together, like, that skill set has, you know, it's exponentially grown, and it's helped the capital raising side of my business, you know, do a lot better, a lot faster. I don't think I could, you know, knowing the rules is one thing, but you have to be able to communicate once you want to apply the rules. And that's something that, you know, I'm grateful that I met you and that we got to work together, because that's definitely it was a game changer for me.
Well, we've learned from each other. You know, you went from student to friend to, you know, business partner, and, you know, and we own millions of dollars of assets together, mm-hmm. for a reason. You know, I learned from you as well. And I learned a long time ago that, as I said earlier, I know nothing, and anyone and anything can teach me something. And if you come from a place of humility, a place of, I want to learn, see things through the eyes of a child and wonder, you will completely change your outlook on life, and you will completely have more fun in life, and you'll end up making more money, and you'll actually attract better people instead of being in, you know, a negative nanny all the time. And negativity is something that a lot of these guys don't have in their DNA. They're generally very happy people. Generally, I say, I've met some crotchety wealthy people, but that's not the norm. So with that, let's wrap this up. And Gabe, I appreciate your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience and, you know, your kind words and your willingness to give to give. Listener, you know, you rock. If it wasn't for you, we'd just be two guys in a microphone. It'd be kind of awkward, actually. And the only thing we want from you is just take some action. Do one thing today that you didn't do yesterday, and just make today better than yesterday, and do your best. So check the show notes. HowToAccessMoney.com
Yep.
is the URL. HowToAccessMoney.com There you go. And just follow that and digest as much information as possible. And all you have is today. Tomorrow's not promised. Remember that it's a present for a reason. And make the best of it. And I appreciate you. Again, like us, love us, share us. Comment, you know, we welcome those. Give us some love. And if you have any questions, comments, grievances, whatever, Marco@MarcoKozlowski.com That's Marco@MarcoKozlowski.com If you have ideas on shows or want something, let us know. We'll take care of you. And I appreciate you very much, Gabe and Frank, whenever he comes back. And have yourself a blessed day and just make today count and make something happen. Give value to others. You have to give.
If you like this episode of Big Fat Real Estate Checks, then show some love by leaving a comment and a good rating. Also, as a thank you for tuning in today, we've got a special free gift. The journey to passive cash flow for a life starts by finding deals, and it's easier than you think. Simply go to getdealsbytuesday.com, enter your email address, and we'll send you a free quick start course called Deals by Tuesday. Even if it's 11 p.m. Monday night, this course will show you how to find discounted real estate deals by Tuesday. It's that fast and simple. Go to getdealsbytuesday.com and start your journey toward life-changing cash flow today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. Mm-hmm.